Wrestling Show, baby. Well, Bo, welcome to the Wrestling Show. I'm your most fickle host, Lip Hazelywood, and this is a very cynical look back at the latest episode of Representing the WWE and live from the Cajun Dome in Louisiana. It's Friday Night SmackDown, air date June 23rd, 2023. This episode is The Road to Money in the Bank. And of course, next week in London too. Okay, so now, before we start the show, a quick shout out to the non-competitors. They are considered the glue that holds the building together. Now, representing the authority figure, he is Adam Pearce. Next, getting all the pre-match interviews and all the backstage scoops. Why? There is nobody today. It's true in that. Usually it's Kayla Braxton and Megan Morant. Now, not today. Most importantly, the commentary crew. They're the play-by-play guys, the hosts, and I even call them the narrators of the whole damn show. They're the team of my personal favorite. He's a man with a silky voice and brings you. He's got this great personality. I can't say enough good things about their guy. I personally have a man crush on this guy. True, he is future Hall of Famer. He is Wade Barrett. And backing him up, it's the longtime veteran of over 25 years. He's still around, and he's Michael Cole. Now, without any further kadoos, let's get the song started and we can get on with the show. So hit that music, please. And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three. Lip really loves wrestling. He likes to talk about it too. If you like to watch wrestling like he do, come and join us on the Wrestling Show. All a wrestling show. All a wrestling show. Oh, 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 baby. All right. Thank you for that amazing song. So we move on to a big show. And as of course, we start off with the what's left of the bloodline, I suppose. And it is Jimmy and Jey Uso coming in there to address the fans and what's going on, you know. And basically, it comes down to this. The biggest why the bloodline is fractured like this, is it who's at fault? Why, it's the biggest snake. It's the biggest snake in the room. Why, that's, of course, is Paul Heyman. They're blaming Paul Heyman. Now, of course, he's the one that put the wedge. He's the one to try to put the wedge between the two brothers, Jimmy and Jey Uso, and that they cannot put up with. So, yeah, this is basically a build-up to a fight between the blood, the family blood, you know? So it's going to be a civil war at Money in the Bank. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one, listener or viewer. But, yeah. It started off big with the bloodline. No, I mean with the Usos. We all love the Usos. Jimmy and Jey Uso doing some good stuff. And they consider themselves the greatest tag teams on the planet. And yes, I think they are. They prove themselves to be the greatest. You know, just because they do not carry the belts currently doesn't make them not the greatest. Anyways, we move on to our very first match. And it is representing the Luftwaffe. I call them Luftwaffe for some strange reason. But they're the LWO, Latino World Order, and it is Rey Mysterio. Versus, of course, L.A. Knight. L.A. Knight in this big match. This was approximately, it was about 5 minutes and 45 seconds. It was almost 6 minutes. Close to 6 minutes, this match. This was a really good match. A really good match. This is everything you wanted in the match in here. LA Knight is truly a very gifted man. His mic skills are almost second to none. Great mics. When LA Knight talks, you want to listen. Not just you have to listen, you want to listen, because he's got something to say, and it's not only funny, it's relevant, and he's got charisma. He's charismatic. He's a very charismatic man with great mic skills, and he can put together a great match. Yeah, LA Knight. Superstar. Who knew? Well, I guess he knew for a long time. Anyways, him versus Rey Mysterio, like I say. Now, how is this match going? Now, last week, it was LA Knight going against Santos Escobar. Santos wins with a ridiculous roll-up combo, you know. It wasn't a good match. So this week, I guess, because, you know, it was just revenge. Because after the match, you know, LA Knight wanted to attack Santos more, and Rey Mysterio came to save his butt. So I guess, regardless, this match. How does the match go? Now, in this match, we had, it was, like I say, it was a really good match. It's shared match of the night. It was really good. But we had moments where it just laughed out loud, where LA Knight's going for this some sort of Alabama slam, and Rey Mysterio is holding on for dear life to the ropes. It was hilarious. Nevertheless, LA Knight ends up getting hurricanrana'd into the ropes itself. And that's where it's set up for the for a 619. That's right. LA Knight took a 619 in this match. But this match goes on a little more. You know, LA Knight knows how to work. And he also knows how to give the greatest standing elbow drop in wrestling, I think. Yeah, I'd say the LA Knight standing elbow is damn beautiful. Chef's kiss. Mwah. That's right. Right on to Rey Mysterio. Now, Rey had his moves and stuff like that, where he did sliding Santon, he does sliding splash, where he slides on the apron and he does a splash outside the ring. You know, Rey Mysterio is known for that move, you know. Sliding out the ring. But regardless, they go on, they're fighting. And LA Knight's, well, they scuffle a little bit more. They scuffle a little bit. LA Knight eventually hits Rey Mysterio with the blunt force trauma. Wacko ran on his head. Oh, it's like a headlock takedown, but ends up with smashing him into the canvas. It is true. LA Knight with a big victory. And now after the match, LA Knight decides, perhaps I'm going to take off Rey Mysterio's mask. Mm-hmm, it's true. He tried. I guess he didn't try hard enough. He just made it look like he's making the attempt. And then Santos Escobar rolls into the ring again, saving his friend, Rey Mysterio. And they hug in the ring there. You okay, my friend? You okay, Rey? You're my pappy. So regardless, now we go backstage. It's with Solo Sikoa and the wise man himself, Paul Heyman, walking in the back. And then we got ourselves I can't believe the nerve of the new look. A brand new look, Ridge Holland. For a second there, I thought it was Dexter Loomis. You know, haven't seen Dexter in a while, but Dexter, I thought it was Dexter Loomis. You know, he had the same haircut, looks like Dexter Loomis, you know. And so he starts giving Solo Sikoa the mouth. What are you looking at? Hey, what are you looking at? Don't you know Ridge Holland? Oh, I used to be Ridge Holland. He didn't say any of that. But Solo's like, he wouldn't have nothing with it. So then, with one move, the Solo Spikoa, right to the throat. And that was it for Ridge Holland. His throat collapsed and he fell down and like, he couldn't do anything. Poor Ridge. And then Sheamus and Adam Pearce comes out there and Sheamus, Adam's like, are you okay? And Sheamus like, I want revenge. I want him new. He didn't quite say it new, but he does want revenge. He wants payback on, you know, their very own Solo Sikoa. Now, after that, Sheamus goes to to the ramp area, entrance ramp area, and he calls out Solo Sikoa, saying, I want a match with you. Main event, new. I don't know why he's got a Scottish accent, but nevertheless, it's my accent for Sheamus. So, yeah. So, the challenge is out there. Will it be answered? Well, we'll find out soon enough. But next up, we got ourselves now, I was wondering. This is this is a historical match. This next match is a historical match, and it's placed mid-card, a second match in. So it's got little faith in this match, and I knew, it's like, wow, why is this match here? There's only one reason why. It's prepare to be disappointed, listener. or viewer. Now, it is a tag team championship match, a unification championship match. This is a big on a SmackDown. And it's your women's champion of the Raw and SmackDown. It's Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. Mm-hmm. Versus, it's Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. Definitely part-time wrestlers. You know, they've wrestled maybe more than Roman Reigns. But, because Roman Reigns, regardless, I consider Shayna and Ronda part-timers. Versus your NXT champions, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Now, this was eventually good. This was bound to happen. This match was bound to happen, regardless of who was the champions at the time. But a unification match had to happen, because women's tag division is rubbish, and they do not need that many belts, you know? So they got to streamline that thing and restructure. But one thing for sure about this match that definitely showed, it's the tag team division. Usually, the tag team matches in Raw and SmackDown, they're just like tag ropes. If you want to use it, use it. If you don't, we don't care. But these were pretty clean. These were very clean matches with the tag ropes. Although the rules were bent, they were pretty clean. Now, what I did not like about this match, now, it was a lot of back and forth in the match. It was about 9.5 minutes. That's right. This was like a barn burner. This was a good length match. With, of course, Raquel Rodriguez taking a special interest watching next to the commentating booth. You know, I don't know why. That maybe I know why, that she's not sitting next to Wade Barrett and Michael Cole, because I guess they don't think she's got good mic skills. You know, and they have a surprise coming on during this match, so, you know, that's why she's sitting there. I thought the surprise was this. I thought Raquel Rodriguez was going to screw over Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey, you know, so then the Isla Dawn and Alba Fire would get a cheeky win because of the help of Raquel. But was I wrong? She sat there like a good girl and said nothing, because she's, regardless, how about the match? Let's get on with the match and stop complaining about Raquel Rodriguez. So one thing for sure, how this match went, now, the referee in this match, I think, made a great call, where it looked like Ronda Rousey is going for a tag, and she was like in the middle of the rope. She was tagging in herself from Shayna Baszler, and the referee's like, "Oh, you got to use." I think the notation was there that the tag ropes must be used if you want to be tagged in. And then Ronda Rousey went to her corner, grabbed those ropes, and the tag was made. I'm like, "Wow, I'm shocked. Never thought I'd see that happening. I thought that slap in the back would consider be a tag, but it wasn't." This match was very clean with the tags. That was a positive. But however, you know, like I say, this was back and forth until the very end. You know, well, we got one huge move. I got to bring in this one here. It is Isla Dawn. She has this Meteora. Usually when you do a Meteora, you jump up high and you land your knees just above the shoulders of your opponent. And you land basically kind of scissoring their faces. And then when they land on their back, this Isla Dawn came short. She landed on her knees to her rib cage, to Shayna Baszler's rib cage. When they went down, Isla was 100% squashing Shayna Baszler. However, I thought, wow, that was a hardcore move, truly. But in the end, it was just, I couldn't believe it. Because in the ring there was Alba Fire versus Shayna Baszler in the ring there. And it's, why? Ronda Rousey takes out Isla Dawn. She throws in the, rear naked choke. And it was a dueling Karafuna clutches. You know, Shayna Baszler getting Karafuna clutch on Alba Fire and, the legal competitors. And next to them is Shayna Baszler, or Ronda Rousey and Isla Dawn. And both of them tapping in unity. Synchronized tapping. Talk about making a statement. Yeah. WWE said, yep, this is the champions. Both of them tapped out. Doesn't matter. There is no question about it who are the new tag team champions. And no one liked it. No one liked it. Because what? Well, maybe this is what they need. Perhaps new champions, of course. So anyways, after that, we got ourselves Raquel Rodriguez she's actually questioned why she was there in the first place. And as a matter of fact, she wants a rematch. And they're saying, with whom? With whom do you want a rematch with? Is Shotzi? So then, of course, it's Liv Morgan. She's well and she's ready to fight again. And she's comes to the ring. Now, which is what gets me. You know, I guess they got to match somehow, Liv and Raquel. And they match with their boots, their high heel sneakers, I swear. They've got these 9 to 12 inch sneakers, sneaker high heels, high heel sneakers. It is insane. I don't know why Raquel had to wear them, because she's tall and tall enough as it is. But Liv, yeah, she's a short one. And she's still with these 9 inch heels, 9 to 12 inch heels. She can look directly into the eyes of Shayna Baszler. That's so tiny. It's very beautiful. Liv Morgan is. So you're going to have the rematch here. Raquel and Liv, perhaps, will they regain their tag team champions, which they never lost? I'd say the possibilities are good. Because, you know, like I've been saying, Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey, they're part-time wrestlers. They're barely there. I think they're just green chippers or blue chippers, whatever. You know, they just brought in for key occasions, you know. But I think Raquel and Liv, they're the full-timers, and I think they deserve to be the champions once again. So now we go from that to Grayson Waller's, the Grayson Waller effect. That's right. The pompous cam, he has got the pompous cam. The camera is usually on the NXT, pompous camera's on him. And there's a screen. Now it's on top front of the his table there. But usually it's always focused on Grayson Waller throughout the entire interview. That was the greatness of Grayson Waller's effect, because it was all about Grayson Waller. But regardless, he brings out the team of two tasty snacks. Pretty deadly. This was basically a time-stretching segment when it comes down to it. A time-stretching segment, because Pretty Deadly had a match coming up shortly, right after this segment of the Grayson Waller effect. It's all basically about that, you know, the gauntlet match, the tag team gauntlet match for number one contendership, where Sheamus and Ridge Holland were starting the whole thing, and they beat everybody until they fought Pretty Deadly. And Pretty Deadly won at the end, and you think, okay, theoretically now, Pretty Deadly beat, you know, the brawling brutes. So theoretically, they beat everybody. And that's basically what they're talking about. Yeah, we beat them because we beat them. Yeah, whatever. It's just a bunch of nonsense, really, when it comes down to it. So eventually, that segment ends with the match that's to continue, to start, which is going to be the Pretty Deadly Two Tasty Snacks from, and we're turning SmackDown into SnackDown soon. Smack to Snack. Okay. Elton Prince, Kit Wilson versus, it is the Street Profits. They come down to the ring, cut the interview short. They're trying to make fun of the Pretty Deadly. It's funny, you know. I always say, dress for the job that you want. You can see. But, yeah, the Street Profits look like they're ready to take on a game of basketball right after this match. I'm thinking, yeah, there's a good sign here that, you know, that Street Profits are going to lose because they're ready for their after-work play. Regardless, I don't know why I'm stretching on with the basketball stupid gimmick thing. But they're dressed like basketball players. That's all I'm saying. So it gets weird. This match was very interesting, to say the least. It was almost 10 minutes, so it was a lot of fun. It was, the wrestling was top-notch. The tagging was perfect. It was a clean tag match. This had everything. This was a good match. Tied for match of the night. This was a good, clean match with great tag action. You know, Pretty Deadly, showing their good tandem moves together. Also, what's weird is Montez Ford. He's finding his inner tasty snack where he strips off Elton Prince's, or Elton Prince's, they call it a male bralette. So the Pretty Deadly are wearing male bralettes in a ring there. And Montez Ford strips one off and decides to put one on, see how it feels. And we all know, I guess now, Montez Ford finding out who he truly is. He finds himself, maybe Montez Ford, a future tasty snack. Blown away. Anyways, how does this go? Now the match carries on. Montez Ford with the, what's that, the bralette, launches through the air and squashes and squashes with a massive tope suicida. Squashes both pretty deadly outside the ring. Now, I think the one great moment of the match was where, I guess, Street Profits have a new tandem move where Angelo Dawkins, like, launches his opponent, which is Elton Prince, into the air, which is caught by Montez Ford and then drops down with a back body drop, with a back body driver. Mm-hmm. It was a, should I say, a backdrop driver. So here you end of the match here. After that, we got ourselves, after the backdrop, it was a pin attempt. And it's Kit Wilson breaks up the pin. Angelo Dawkins throws him outside the ring, and then they go inside the ring again. Angelo Dawkins sets up Elton Prince on his shoulders for, Montez Ford for a massive double team. It's like blockbuster on the top rope to a electric chair drop. Massive, massive move. But however, Kit Wilson gets on the ring there and knocks off Montez Ford onto the ground outside, where and then a nifty roll-up by Elton Prince rolls up Angelo Dawkins with the assist of Elton Prince's own bralette, holding his feet onto the ropes. If the referee, it doesn't matter if your hands are on a feet to hold your partner's feet down to the ropes, or using some sort of shirt to hold your partner's feet down. If the ref looks at it, no matter what, he's going to stop the match and say, nope, his feet are on the ropes. It doesn't matter if you're using cheating to put them on the ropes. But regardless, referee did not see. And I guess that extra leverage secured the victory for Pretty Deadly. Match of the night. You heard it here first. It's Clyde. It was a good match. Regardless of my cynical reviewing, but I liked it. I'm a big fan of Pretty Deadly. Truly think they're two Tracy Snacks in their future championship material. Mm-hmm. They're on the same page, baby, like they're saying on the Grayson Waller effect. On the Grayson Waller effect. Now, our next match, I gotta say. Wow. Talk about someone's not in the good books, and that someone not in the good books is Lacey Evans. Mm-hmm. Well, if you need a jobber, call Lacey Evans, the woman with the snake on her head. Now, here we go. It is Charlotte Flair getting ready for a big match against Asuka. This is her warm-up match. Charlotte Flair versus Lacey Evans. This was 2.5 minutes. Now, it was Charlotte just making Lacey look like an absolute idiot, fool. Until Lacey has like one move, one offensive move. She knocks down Charlotte Flair and decides to, she gloats. Lacey basks in her own glory even more than Keith Lee did. It was pretty sad. It was such a throttling Charlotte over Lacey Evans. Charlotte doing Andrade El Idioto. The Tranquil. She lies on the ground there like, hey, Tranquilo. So yeah, it was embarrassing for Lacey. After that, she just throws on the figure four, turning to the figure eight, which is the bridging figure four. Lacey Evans taps like almost instantaneous. It was embarrassing for Lacey. Now, only one thing going for Lacey is she looks amazing. Her ring gear, she looks like a champion in that ring, even though she's a complete jobber. So, yeah. And, of course, after the bell rings, she's holding the figure eight for just a little bit too long. Holding it still. I don't know why, what she's doing that for. We all know why, apparently, eventually, because Asuka comes in and attacks. Now, what is hilarious, Asuka is supposed to come down there and slide down and do a sliding kick to the face. But apparently, I think what happened, Asuka gets in the ring. She tries to get in position. Her little flippity floppity shoes fall off her feet. Bloop, bloop. Both of them. Both of her shoes fall off her feet. But she has to do her little kicky with her socks, kicking Charlotte's stomach or just slapping her breasts with her feet. Some people are just jealous over breasts. Okay. And then ensues the beating. Asuka starts beating up Charlotte. And guess where Lacey Evans is? Nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be seen. You think Lacey Evans would get a little hand on there, but I guess she's not interested. You know, Asuka was doing all Lacey Evans things, like saluting. Because, you know, Charlotte was mimicking Lacey Evans in the match. You know, I salute me, salute me. Okay, regardless. So she's taking that. And Lacey Evans like, whatever, I'm going. I'm just going to grab my hat with the snake on it, and I'm going to leave. And I'm going to leave. And she did. So a statement made by Asuka over Charlotte looking at Money in the Bank. Okay, so next up is our main event match. It's a big one. It is, will Sheamus get revenge for, I guess, Ridge Holland? Now, this match is Sheamus against Solo Sikoa. This match was a no contest, which was sad because this was a pretty good match. This was a very entertaining match. They went back and forth, you know. You know when, I guess Sheamus is having a good time, and when Sheamus goes to the top rope. But you know what happens when Sheamus goes to the top rope? He just jumps off. There's no real special move. The level of risk of Sheamus's top rope, there's no risk. He just jumps off. I was surprised he didn't finish off with a Polish hammer. The two fists together. Oh! Oh! On top of the head. You know? No, this was like a lame looking, like the lame Ricky the Dragon chop at the head. Oh! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Right to the head. Sound effects. Courtesy of me. Regardless, this match carries on. Now, they go outside the ring here where, oh my goodness, Solo gets Sheamus into a, I guess, Samoan drop. Samoan drops him outside the ring, right on the comfy paddings outside the ring. Mm-hmm. I guess that comfy padding was no good padding for Sheamus because that was done. Sheamus's back was done. But not quite done because the match goes on and he struggles through the thing. He ends up giving a Solo score to 10 beats at a Balor. It's true. Didn't go 20, didn't go 30. So it's okay. Referee didn't count, but you know, it's all right. Didn't go past 5 seconds too long. So Sheamus does get the white noise. Picks up Solo Sikoa. He barely does it. He picks him up. Oh, my back. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. He goes down. He picks him up and he does a white noise. No pin. Tries to go for a pin, but doesn't finish the pin off. And then later on, Sheamus goes for the Celtic Cross, known as the, the Razor's Edge. So they're calling it the Celtic Cross. So he couldn't get the Razor's Edge on, Solo. His back. Oh, no! My sciatica! Damn it! And then with that, Solo kicks Sheamus in the back, in the butt, and he flies out the ring. And then Solo gets him the Uranagi, places him on top the commentating table. And then puts him, lays him flat by the timekeeper's area, up front to timekeeper's area. Then he takes a running step backwards to make a run at it. Run at Sheamus. He does a run. He does this butt bump he does on the corner. The butt bump. But here's the thing. I got a picture of it. As you can see, Sheamus is on one side. The butt bump's on the other side. There's zero contact on that thing at all. Zero contact. But the referee, she comes out the ring and she stops the match due to too much damage to Sheamus' head, which he's never got touched, by the way. And after that, we got ourselves, oh, because I guess Solo Sikoa has gone to some extra damage on Sheamus, and the Usos had, well, you're not going to touch Sheamus now. I don't know what's with that accent, but the Usos come in there to rescue Sheamus. Where's Butch? Butch could have come down there and helped Sheamus out. I'm pretty sure Ridge Holland, he just got, Thamoa'd, Samoan spiked. He could have come out with Butch, but no, none of them. The Usos come out there and have a super kick party on Solo's face. And, of course, we have a moment here where the Usos go off the top rope for a double splash onto Solo Sikoa. Now, I'm not sure what happened here, what was supposed to happen, but it looked big. They both went, the Usos went on either corner, and they both did a Uso splash. Now, here's the thing. I've got a picture of the Uso splash, the finished product. Jimmy and Jey Uso both missed. They both made zero contact. I guess minimum contact. Made very minimum contact on Solo Sikoa. When they both went off top rope, they made sure Solo Sikoa was not touched or harmed in any way in this move. It was weird. You know, it's like, wow, they missed completely. You know, I knew it. When they're going off top, they're going in this weird angle where they're standing up still almost. So you knew something terrible was going to happen. Terrible meaning, I don't know, regardless. So the Solo Sikoa was spared. At least what I know, they've been spared from that double splash. But anyways, next week in UK, in London, will be, a women's championship match. Mm-hmm. And it's Asuka versus Charlotte Flair next week. Also scheduled for next week will be another championship match in this tag team one. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens defends their title against the team of Two Tasty Snacks, of Pretty Deadly, Elton Prince, and Kit Wilson. That's going to be good. I don't know. This is just a SmackDown. Will Kit Wilson and Elton Prince win on a SmackDown? I think if they're going to win, it's going to be on a bigger stage. It has to be. And of course, we're going to have the Grayson Waller effect with the special guest, Logan Paul. Yep, this can be like an episode of, what's that Paul, Logan Paul's talk show thing, you know? Regardless, I can't remember his talk show name. But here's the thing. Next week, now this is, it's come down to this again. If Roman Reigns, if he needs a week's notice again, you know, a week's notice again. So, he's not there today, but next week, promised by the WWE, will be Roman Reigns returning to the big show in London, England. I bet he's there right now, a week early, just to get himself acclimated in the UK. That's what I think. But anyways, that does wrap it up for this episode of SmackDown and concludes the episode of the show. Now, if you stuck around to the very end of this episode, I got a very special place in my heart just for you. So remember, stay tuned for next week. Will be a regular episode of The Wrestling Show on regular time. So remember, listener, you matter. Louis Suling, show, oh, baby.